All right, it's my great pleasure now to introduce Amy Epstein from the Gloucester Health Prevention Department, from the Gloucester Health Department, and she is the Regional Prevention Director. And Amy, welcome to MSO.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Okay, I got to start right away with what Regional Prevention Director, what does that mean? What's that position? And it is within the Gloucester Health Department?
It sure is. So I am... we are the prevention team, and we operate out of the Gloucester Health Department, but we're actually a regional prevention center. So Gloucester is the lead community on several regional grants, so we have the opportunity to serve 7 towns, which is really awesome because we get to do really cool initiatives that spread through the whole region. The towns are Rockport, Manchester, Essex, Ipswich, Beverly, Danvers, and Gloucester.
Oh my, okay.
And we do all sorts of work around public health and around preventing risk behaviors, but our main focus is bolstering protective factors so that we can help young people have super good experiences now to help them mitigate the risk that might come later.
What is some of the actual day-by-day prevention work that the program does with respect to youngsters, I'm presuming it is?
Yep. We do things that are a little bit more tertiary, like overdose prevention. Mm-hmm. We have right now a campaign about carrying Narcan, for example.
Mm-hmm.
But most of our work is very primary prevention focused. And we work with youth in all sorts of different ways. Our work is based, in the format of a coalition, and that's the Regional Youth Prevention Network that you hear of. And that coalition involves 12 different sectors of the community, so everything from first responders to teachers to parents to youth themselves to media. So anybody in the community is welcome to join the group, and we feel that all of these issues are community issues, so they all need to have a community solution. And we like to support the schools, for example, and what they do. We support the youth programs that occur, and then we have some of our own programming as well.
I feel as a retired teacher, for several reasons, it's been an epic fail by education in this country. When I see people not understanding the Constitution, when I see other things that go on that are just seemingly un-American, I say, what happened? And with prevention, abuse of abuse of drugs and so on, or even use of them, I have to think that it relies heavily on education starting very young. So when health teachers or schools reach out, is there a way that you can support them, or what might be some of the things that you can do to help with that kind of education and understanding so kids get the message early?
Right, yes. So we have a lot of different things we do. For example, we do a lot of social marketing campaigns, so we can get the message out that way.
Mm-hmm.
One of the things we like to do is accentuate the positive. So, for example, we know that most kids don't drink, so we like to tell them that. We like to get the message out to them in different ways for, like, education. But we know that, you know, kids, for the most part, know that drugs are bad and that they're dangerous. So we like to focus on some of the other pieces. Things like having a trusted adult, someone to talk to in the community, things like having an opportunity to serve their community. These kinds of positive experiences really help young people kind of navigate trickier situations as they get older. We also have a really strong belief in kind of a philosophy that's not about us without us. I'm sorry. Yeah, that's it. So that we would have, you know, if we're working for youth, we want youth involved in the process. So
mm-hmm,
we have
mm-hmm.
A coalition of young people that kind of works in collaboration with the coalition of adults that are only separate because of the time of day. But we really want to have young people in high decision-making roles.
I love it. Yep.
So that they can help us implement the strategies. So we do have a regional youth coalition, which it kind of mirrors the adult one, and that meets twice a month, and it has young people from all the seven towns I mentioned earlier. And they, much like the adult coalition, look at issues. They look at data. We use a lot of data to make sure that what we're doing makes sense. And they look at the youth risk behavior surveys from their towns, and they evaluate some of the risks they see and some of the things that they find, you know, that hit them home the most. So this group in particular has chosen mental health as their most important issue to address. And their first strategy is going to be a big event for all seven towns for high school students. It's going to be a Youth Mental Health Awareness Day. We'll have more information about that coming as it gets closer, but it'll be in June. But we're really excited to have something for the youth by the youth because as adults, we are not fun, and we don't know what's fun. And I could tell kids all day to come do something with me, but I don't think they will.
There you go.
We need their peers to tell them, and we need their peers to make it fun. So we have some awesome youth that have been trained in public health and best practices to help us come up with some of these strategies. We also do look at specific issues, kind of to address the question you asked earlier. So we have a lot of school administrators, for example, that come to our meetings. And before COVID really hit, one of the biggest issues, and I think this won't surprise you, for folks was vaping. So we had all the school administrators coming to meetings saying, I'm taking the doors off the bathroom stalls. I'm, you know, have kids. This is really stressful for our day. We're not learning because we're just worrying about vaping. So as a coalition, we were able to look, what can we do regionally? What support can we put in place to help do a regional effort to help young people? So we started the vaping work group, and we came up with all sorts of strategies. We funded a representative from each of the towns to go to Worcester for several days to become certified smoking cessation coaches. And then we provided like mints and fidget spinners and smoking cessation groups at lunchtime for each of the schools. We did a campaign where we printed a bunch of materials. There's a My Life, My Quit Vaping for Teens program that we promoted. So we really kind of look at each issue as it comes up and think about ways that we can apply best practices and look at data and use youth and their input to create strategies that will make a difference.
I forgot the question I asked, but you answered about 10 more, so I repeat that. No, really, it's fascinating because it's very complex. The idea of involving kids, I think is spectacular. I learned so many things from my kids over the years.
Right.
And we have to listen as adults. We think because we're adults, we know what they've been through or what they're going through, and yet there's a big line of demarcation there. So congratulations on that. That's fabulous. A great idea.
That's actually this grant that we got. That's what it's for. So that's exciting to me personally because this has been a dream of mine to have a youth coalition as expansive as the adult one. So to me, this is a dream for our little team to have this resource of youth that are capable of helping us run this.
That's tremendous. I think one constant among youth, going back to way back in my youth and probably even before that, is the idea of experimenting, because there might be a void. You might see someone doing something or just, you know, I need more in my life or whatever it is. And to have and to have kids lead the way, they can demonstrate to their peers, okay, this is what you ought to be looking at. Never mind, you know, that hole in your life. Never mind experimenting. The data is out there. And I'll tell you one thing. I remember, I think it was at the Museum of Science, when I was actually a young teacher. I never did smoke cigarettes, but I remember seeing a healthy lung and a lung that had been destroyed by cigarettes. And I thought, how in the world could anyone ever pick up a cigarette if that's what you're going through? And but again, education, that kind of thing. So it's really exciting to hear you involve the kids like this. And you know, the big headline that we got on the press release was the $125,000 grant, and so you're going to be putting that to good use, I'm sure.
Yes, we're excited. So the The key is, you know, most of the adults that participate in our coalition, I would say 90% of them, although anyone's welcome and we love anyone to join us. Typically, we get a lot of folks that come as part of their work, as part of their job, which is fine. But we understand that, you know, in the same respect for youth, people are strapped and they're spread thin, and asking people to volunteer their time, especially twice a month for, you know, 2 hours at a time, is a big ask. So part of what we're using the grant for is just very tiny incentives for the youth that participate, so we can kind of say, here's something for you for your time. Mm-hmm. And then some funds to make sure there's an adult facilitator in each of the towns to kind of help the youth get what they need, advocate for them as needed, so that they do have someone kind of helping them locally. And then we come together as a big group. So the funds are really going to help solidify this youth group and create an opportunity for us to really keep it going. And this grant has the potential to be renewed for at least 8 years.
Oh, wow,
we're
cool.
We're really excited. Yeah, it's very an awesome opportunity.
Oh, that's some significant coin. That's excellent.
Yeah, it's great. It's awesome. We're
final,
super excited.
Final question or thought that I have. You mentioned mental health, and I have a problem with mental illness, the term, because, you know, mental, it implies that, okay, you can think your way out of this. You can will your way out of this.
Yeah.
But it's more than that. It's a brain thing. It's a health system. It's entirely complex, and it's not something you can wish away. And I think, or I'm wondering, during COVID, has this all been exacerbated? Does it flow into your field of expertise as well?
Absolutely. It's interesting that you say that. You know, like you said, public health is complex and a little bit obscure and kind of hard to explain. And it's really easy to say, this is how many people overdosed, but it's a little bit harder to say how many people didn't overdose because of the work we did, you know. So it's a little bit obscure and hard to grasp as a concept. But now that COVID happened, I think people really understand public health in a different way. It's like, oh, prevention. I get it now. You're preventing things like COVID. And in the same way as you prevent COVID, you prevent other things. And I think that the mental health piece during COVID has been what has really stuck out to most people. And the thing that we keep finding over and over again is systematic issues with, you know, insurance carriers and connecting people to services and helping folks get what they need as far as care. We know most young people say that if they needed to talk to someone, it would be months before they got to.
Yes.
The wait lists are crazy.
Right.
It's just very hard to access services right now. One thing we implemented during COVID is a mental health navigator. So we have, I can actually give you the phone number right now.
Yep.
It's 781-540-3329. And anyone in any of these seven towns can call this navigator regardless of insurance or regardless of anything. And this navigator will help connect them to a therapist. We found that navigating the system itself was such a barrier to service that people weren't even able to get connected to someone just because of how many times you have to call and the wait list and they're not taking new patients, and just the work of getting to someone was so hard that it was stopping people from actually getting served. So we put together this position for someone that they answer the phone and this is their job. So anybody for free is welcome to call this number and leave a message with their information, and they will get back to you and should be able to help you with a warm handoff with a clinician that's accessible to you.
All right. Amy, anything else that you want to mention that I didn't ask about?
I don't think so. I think I covered a lot of stuff.
Yes, you
if
did.
If anyone has any questions, I love for people to reach out. I love for people to get involved. We believe that everybody has a seat at the table, so whoever you are, you have something to offer this process. These are community problems that, you know, require community solutions. So I encourage people to reach out to us. I can be reached at my email, which is aepstein@gloucester-ma.gov. And,
All righty, that's Amy Epstein, the Regional Prevention Director located at the Gloucester Health Department. With MSO News Sports, I'm Rick Moore.